Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Jeff, this is about to get a little confusing, but currently we are in Miami, and this episode with Jadakiss was recorded last week, and right now as we speak, a video of ours with Birdman and Juvenile from last April is going viral. So once again, to recap, we are now...
In Miami. Oh, we should hit up Birdman. No, like, I'm serious.
Yes, okay. Yeah, we should hit up Birdman.
We should hit up Birdman.
But while we're here.
While we're here in Miami.
We should hit up Birdman.
We should hit Birdman.
Is this about the video that's gone viral from last year?
I do not think he cares about the video going viral. I think that... I don't even know if he would care if we hit him up.
Well, for anybody out there who does care, who did enjoy that amazing interview from last year, we did put the video up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/itsthereal, and it is now
going viral
and has and will be going viral. So go to youtube.com/itsthereal, subscribe, like, comment, do all that great stuff, and also go to patreon.com/itsthereal to help this thing move forward or stay here or
what.
I'm trying to figure out.
I'm speaking for the audience. I have no idea what you're talking about. You're just, like, saying things.
This is like Spaceballs when they try to, like, figure out the time continuum.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that?
I don't know.
What was... I can solo out the tracks now, Jeff, so I can...
I don't want to talk about it.
Go back and hear whatever that sound effect was.
Uh-huh. Are you going to duplicate it?
Shout out to everybody who loved that Royce the 5'9 episode from last week. Please do listen to that in case you haven't. This Jadakiss interview means a lot to us because Jada's somebody we've known for quite a long time. And, you know, it's not just like knowing in passing. This is a guy who we know as a friend and that we were able to talk about our friendship and tell him how much we appreciate him.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, he has this album out, his album coming out.
Yes.
Called Ignatius, which is about his late best friend, Ice Pick, Jay Jackson, who passed away a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew him, and you know, it's I don't know that he's able to have that conversation many places on mic, and so I'm glad that he was able to do it here.
Yeah.
To talk about Ice Pick the way that he does here.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there's a lot of great value in this conversation here. I think that when you listen to it, you'll be like, yes, this is what I wanted to hear from Jadakiss, and I'm glad that we were able to do it.
Yeah.
This week, last week, whenever, Jeff.
We're in Miami. We're hanging out with Birdman right now.
Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
All right. Jeff, you good?
Yeah.
All right. Jada, you good?
Yeah.
All right. Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Very Berry, a.k.a. So Raspy.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Put the Paws on Him, a.k.a. E.
Jason Phillips, a.k.a. Your Kool-Aid's too sweet, a.k.a. Your feet stink, a.k.a. Jadakiss.
Here's your third favorite podcast to waste time with. It's the real. Jada, what's happening?
It's good, my brothers.
Everything's good. Good to see you, yo. It's you know, we like to, especially in this day and age, tell people how we feel about them. Being your friend is the greatest for so many reasons, but
I still can't believe you know my name.
It's fucking the best. And when we texted you the other day, and
Jeff,
said, yo.
Jeff is crazy.
We're like, yo, do you want to come on the podcast, do another solo episode? It's been 5 years.
You said,
are elephants heavy?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, actually. But yeah, you know, yeah. We fortunate the same way. The feeling is mutual. You know, we fortunate to go back with you guys before y'all got all this money. You know what I mean? We knew y'all early starting out.
That's
facts. You know, we build the bond and we good friends, and it's always a pleasure to do, you know, the movie reviews and to come on for my album.
All of that.
All love.
Or just... To do barbecues, the whole thing?
Yeah. Like, barbecues, you know.
Text messages.
You know what I mean? Nah, but for real.
Yeah.
You gotta get the ice. Yeah. Get you a chain with that.
Absolutely. Why? You know, especially with this album, Ignatius, which was based around not only some storytelling stuff about Jay Jackson, Ice Pick, Ignatius, but also a lot of ideas that he wanted to see come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
We heard the album a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic body of work. People were asking us about it because you played this for a small group of people throughout one day.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them, honestly, this is up there with your best work of all time. And I don't know if that's like the spirit of Ice Pick. I don't know if that's just like, you know, your mind at work. But whatever it was is not only Grammy worthy, but something that stands the test of time and is a true, true, amazing representation of a great man, Ice Pick.
I really appreciate that. And you guys know him, so you're listening as, you know, from your work aspect, but you also know him, so it's a different, you're able to grasp it a little different than some of the other people that was in the room. And that's something that I appreciate, because the people that knew him or knew of him, they will receive it a little different than just a regular fan or somebody that's just listening or for the first time, or just think it's just a project that I put out, you know, it's a different meaning with it. But overall, it felt good. Like, you know, it felt like he A&R'd it from heaven. You know what I mean? Even though Ill Will was the first actual A&R from heaven. Shout out to Nas.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like Pick, his energy was there for the whole process. You know what I mean? Even now.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And shout out to Steve Carlos, too, by the way.
Yeah. Steve-O. Shout out to my man, Steve-O. He's fighting a fight with me, man.
I want to go back to the beginning of your relationship with Pick. Where did you guys meet?
I actually met him in Mart 125 on 125th Street when I was probably 18 or something like that. When D from Rough Riders Darren would just have us hanging out with him and bringing us around Harlem and battling and just, you know what I mean, just getting us to soak up culture and learn some things. And
did he know
was
you?
He was a jeweler. He knew of me because, you know,
yeah,
he was buzzing.
Yeah.
But he was actually, his name is Ice Pick because he's a jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He worked at Black Man's Jewelers inside the Mart. And that was unique to me that, you know what I mean? At first I thought it was some type of front. They were selling drugs or something, because I'm like, Black Man's Jewelers? There ain't no damn black jewelers. But then he started really going downtown in the district and making molds, and he knew about the quality of diamonds, and he knew about gold, and he knew about, you know what I mean? Then it went to him. Fast forward, he became the A&R Rough Riders, and he worked on our albums and X albums and the compilations and all that. But then he would make out jewelry, though. He still had the passion. He used to love, like, when I want a new piece, he's like, nah, kiss me, what you want? Come back with the molding, go set it, diamonds on, then that my Rough Rider piece, my D-Block piece, all of my jewelry mostly, he designed it and made it, him with Jacob's nephew and some of his other jewelers he had down there. But he was incredible at doing that as well. I thought that was unique for a young black dude to be actually know about jewels, you know what I mean, diamonds and how to make jewelry, so... Then he got nice at A&R.
Yeah. Well, how did he make that step?
I think he was infatuated. Like, when we would go there, he always would just talk music. He would never really... I would have to talk about jewelry to him, but he was really asking D what was going on with the Riders. And, you know what I mean? It's like, as soon as it started bubbling, they brought him in. And it's like, he knew nothing about it. Then in a few years, he knew everything about it, and he had wild connects, and he could talk to anybody. And so his whole story was incredible. And after the whole Rough Rider blow up, you know, we took over the world for a nice amount of years and launched solo careers, and X became my iconic figure, did Woodstock and movie deals and broke the statue of when you could drop albums back to, you know what I mean? Yeah, then
two D, number ones.
D got into the accident. Rough Riders kind of went down a bit. So I grabbed Pick to work with me. He like, yo, Kiss, I want to work with you. I'm like, hell yeah, I need you anyway. So grabbed him.
Were you guys best friends at that point?
Nah. He was just still cool. Like, yeah. When Rough Riders I went down, he was in Harlem, I was in YO. We didn't see each other for a while, but we'd see each other, like, you know what I mean? He called me or whatever. But one day he called me like, yo, I wanna work. Then after we started working together, that's when we started getting closer, because he had to come to the crib and we'd just be there for hours building about my brand and talking about the locks and just anything, how to make everybody bigger and better. You know what I mean? He was for that, always for the cause. You know what I mean? And
one of the smartest guys we ran into. And I think that's why, like, you know, snakes find snakes, good people find good people, and smart people find smart people, right?
Yeah.
So Steve Carlos and him were, like, super tight. Remo and him, super tight. And those guys all thought differently, too. Did you understand that bringing a guy like that to Interscope to, like, you know, help you with your solo career?
I knew that would be a boost, because it's just his relationship and rapport and how people... He was a good people person. You know what I mean? Everybody dealt with... They really dealt with him, and they really trusted him, and they really... You know what I mean? It wasn't like just a business thing, or it wasn't like they... Smoking Mirrors, Pharrell, Alicia, Swiss, anybody he messed with, they really fucked with him. So you already know he had that energy to get stuff done, to get answers. You know what I mean? I would never go in Def Jam. I would send him in there. He'd go in all the departments and come out with the real deal answers. You know what I mean? So that's a big thing that I'm missing now, because... You know, his back didn't tell me anything, but I had him actually. He was in there and it was working. Like, our formula worked. I could send him there.
It's like a translator.
Yeah. You know? I could send him to anybody to get beats, anybody to get verses. He'd be on them. He'd be consistent with it till we got it. You know what I mean? Clearances, all of that stuff that's killing me now. He was able to do that for me. And you never know how much somebody is valuable to you till you lose them. Like, you always hear that with girls and stuff like that, but as far as in the work field and, you know, just everyday life, you never know how much of a chunk of your life could lose with somebody's passing, or, you know what I mean? And that's how it happened to me, and I'm rebuilding it right now under people's eyes, but it's a real shock. It's a real... It could really hurt you, like, you know what I mean?
We were up at the Apollo for the going home service, right? And I was saying to Tommy before, I was like, we're in this good times and bad, you know? We celebrate with you, but we're also, you know, going to go to the bad times, and you're there and you cry too. So when we were up there, and it really was a beautiful service, and you were up there, and Styles is up there, and, you know, Swiss, and, like, a lot of people were there. And I don't remember you speaking. It was a lot on your soul, I know. I know it was out of nowhere, because they wanted to keep the news from you because they knew how you would feel. But can you talk about what a rebuilding process has been like for you inside? Because that's a lot.
It actually made me a better man, like a better person, like. At this passing, I bought a house. I bought a, you know what I mean? I got my family situation got better and tighter, and, you know what I mean, along the right lines and means. My workout regimen got solid. My thinking process got better. Now I just got to put that into the bit. Like, I started with me first, like, getting the foundation right. Now I'm going to, you know, I did the interior, now I'm working on the exterior.
We lost our dad 10 years ago, right? And I think about this a lot. I'm like, would we be the people we are today? Like, I want him to be here. I want him to see the success without that?
But it sparked something in the same.
Is that crazy to say?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, see, that's ill. You can understand.
You know?
Yeah, that's the same sort of thing, like. And you know he's proud and he's happy of what y'all become. The same with Pick. I know he's happy the way I'm conducting business, the way I, you know what I mean? The change for the better.
So you put together this album, did you start right away? Or was that something that you could, you know, therapeutically
Yeah, how long did it take?
Actually, it took me. I didn't have no idea it was going to be this. Like, you know, after the funeral and the going home service and the just speaking with his daughter a lot on the phone and his son's mother and just people, our mutual friends and family. Like, I'm like, damn. Because it was weighing on me still. I still can't believe it sometimes. I look at his text messages. I'd be listening to beats he sent me. I'm like, damn. Pick anybody but pick, like, god damn. So then I'm like, I'm just gonna do an album, and I'm gonna name it after him. I'm gonna use some of the production, I'm gonna do some of the, all of them shit start coming to my head, like, oh, that'd be a good way to closure, you know what I mean? That'd be like my ashes on my mantle.
Yeah, for me.
That's what I made it for. And even as far as to the cover art being a pain, I'm on the actual one, probably, or put it in my crib and have it, and, you know what I mean, I could talk to them the way people talk to the ashes, and like that, I made it a good, you know, a positive out of a negative or a bad situation, and then we get the ball back rolling, come with the new Lox album, come with the documentary, come back with a Kiss for the Summer, you know what I mean, regular, hard, killing people.
Yeah.
Nah, just like that, but it felt a sense of closure after it all just came to me. All right, this is what you going, this is like he told me to do it. Like, yeah, this is what you need to do. And that, you know what I mean? Like he was still here, like some movie shit. But yeah, it took a while, but because I was trying to figure out how to shake it off. And yeah, that was the final, you know what I mean? Do this and then you good, man. You know what I mean? Everything else, you working, family good, new house. Do this for him. Get, you know what I mean? That's how it's going.
Yeah. You know, we haven't talked about this, but is there any part of you that wishes that you knew earlier?
Yes, definitely. I wish I could have, you know, because sometimes, because he was going, they said he was trying to do holistic, you know what I mean? And
go down to Mexico.
That's good, but you got to get some of the regular doctor shit first with cancer. You can't really. They even had Dr. Zebby's wife came there and made a drink for him that was working, they said, for like a month or so, but he stopped taking it. But he needed some of the regular medicine and chemo and all that, then holistic. He was trying to beat the eye. He was trying to do some, him and Steve-O, he thought he was going to beat it and then come with a whole, this is how you do it. But I ain't, no, man, I ain't how he should have did it.
Where'd you get
also
that?
Also, some money. Could have used help financially. Steve always taking care of everything on his own. You know what I mean? Just Pick was incredible because he spun me. I was speaking to him for a while, and he was, you know, I'm coming downtown. I'm, nah, I got to. Then after he died, I'm like, yo, every time you try to see him, he would make something up. That shit was crazy. You know what I mean?
So you featured his voice on the album, too.
Yeah, got some lyrics, some ad-libs from something, maybe one of my other albums when he was doing some talking or something he was able to have.
Did you remember that or someone else remember it?
No, I knew. Yeah. I knew we had something in the machine. I just told Dezu and Poobs, yo, don't we got some pick, like, vocals? And they're like, yeah, there's something in there, so, you know.
And you finished some ideas that you and Pick had talked about. He wanted you always to work with Pusher,
yeah. We did the Lox and Clips, but he wanted me to do a song with Push. He encouraged that every five albums ago. Yo, please, you know what I mean?
Why did it take so long?
Guess we were just both mutually busy and working it out, but it wasn't that hard to.
Yeah.
It was never that hard to do.
I know when Me dropped, we hit you on text and we were like, yo, like, this is it, man. This, like, you talking your talk, you, and my favorite part of it is it's all facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a real fucking great record.
Yeah. I mean, I really loved Me because the beat, I love the track so much. Shout out to Brian Michael Cox.
Big shout out, yeah.
The beat is just so soulful, I know. Even though that's one of the beats that Pick wasn't here for me when I picked it, but I just felt he would have loved that beat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's like he A&R'd it from heaven. He's like, yeah, pick that beat, get it. Make sure you get pay him his first half and make handle the samples. And I was just hearing him saying all that stuff. So, you know what I mean?
But, you know, from, you know, good dude, good heart, mm-hmm. to, you know, the record labels you made a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
to shouting out Steve Stout for that commercial. Mm-hmm. Like
large bag from yeah. Steve Stout. Yeah.
So I know you're going to Genius after this, and I don't know if you're doing like one of those verified things, right? Mm-hmm. Where you talk about the song and break it down. But I always thought this would be the greatest idea if for your song Me, which is all about you and all about these facts, if you sent us to do it.
That'd be awesome. We,
the two of us sit down and explain your lyrics. We're like, well, you know. Yeah.
That would be hard. We got to see if we can
with
do
no
that.
Explanation
we
gotta either.
We
got to
see
yeah.
if we can do that. Just for that song.
Yeah,
y'all gonna,
just for that song. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
That's hard.
Like Jada couldn't make it today, but we'll happily discuss his lyrics. You know, that's, like,
that's great.
So Steve Stout's the commissioner. So, you know, yeah. I was watching an interview that you did with Nick Cannon from like 3 months ago or so.
Mm, yeah.
And you were out in L.A., and he does this quick fire thing where he's talking about like lightning round questions.
Yeah, like best thing, worst thing.
Yeah. And he asked you,
what was your worst job?
Worst job.
Walter's Hot Dogs.
And that may not mean anything to anybody who didn't grow up in Westchester.
They don't know.
But when we found out that you worked for a summer or something like that.
Yeah.
At Walter's Hot Dogs.
Which is like, it's an institution. It's in a Japanese pagoda.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. In Mamaroneck, right across from the high school. And like, we would never imagine.
No.
That Jadakiss or Young Jason would be working there. What made working at that place
the worst?
So bad.
That wasn't the one I worked at.
That wait, wasn't the one?
It was another one on Tuckahoe. Where
it's a chain?
Yeah, it's more than... It's actually... I seen them out of state and all of it.
Wait, you didn't even get to work at the actual Walters?
No, I worked at...
You worked at like...
But it was a real one, but it wasn't the
they
real
one. They got the truck,
one.
Too,
yeah, this
by
was
the way.
A spinoff.
Yeah.
It was a real one, though. It was a...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, they still made hot dogs.
Dunkin' Donuts and all that is in Tuckahoe, of course, in the hotel.
Yeah.
It was...
Over there?
When they first built that little shopping mall strip, it was a Walters there, and I was working in it.
What were you doing?
Making hot dogs. Just making hot dogs.
Yo, does that make you like
my
never...
uncle's girlfriend was the manager, so...
Shout out to her.
She plugged me with the job. Yeah, shout out to Joanne. She got me the job. I know.
Does that make you never want to eat hot dogs again?
Hell no. Hell yeah.
Can't I smell hate, that
yeah,
shit.
There are lots of listen, reasons not to
you
eat
don't
hot
like
dogs.
Mustard but, anymore.
The job was actually sucked, though. It was nobody there.
Yo, you suck. Keep talking like this, you're not going to get hired there.
Yo, could you pull on your friends and, like, you know, either hook them up with hot dogs or, like,
well,
get them
how,
jobs?
Yeah, but how many of your friends
in,
were coming to...
Nobody was coming. I mean...
Yeah. Was anybody driving the 20 minutes?
They used to come in and laugh at me. I mean...
Did you have to wear a uniform?
Hell yeah.
Damn.
What was it? Like a polo?
I ain't sure if it was all the way button down or polo. Something nasty though. It was horrible.
Shitty hours.
The yep. hours when everything's going down, I'm in there putting relish on dogs. They heard me that summer.
So we were talking with the guys the other day. Styles and Sheik stopped by. We did a review of Knives Out, right? And we were talking beforehand. We're just like, yo, because this is the craziest thing to me. You got shoes on shoes on shoes, right? And Sheik always complains that he doesn't have the hookup. He's like, nah, man, like, you know.
Yeah, he's like, Jada's got, you know, person at Nike.
Yeah.
They always lying.
Yeah.
I plugged them with Dawn Baxter. I plugged them with Reg. Sheik probably got some packages, and Sheik got Jordans in his crib that's worth thousands of dollars that he don't even care about, but he just choose to say that.
You know,
they got the same connect. I buy a lot of my sneakers is bought.
Yeah.
So they sometimes they get it misconstrued with the sneakers they send us.
We're not trying to break up the locks right now.
Nah, they know that. I'm more of a sneakerhead. Looch don't. Looch is real estate. Looch is rich.
No,
Looch is the rich. Looch is filthy rich.
No, yeah. He's yeah. lost touch. He's
yeah.
He's,
yeah, he's not. He's like not with the people anymore.
Like your old uncle that's just filthy rich. That, you know, Luch is rich.
But. I love that one of the things that Sheik told us is he doesn't check his DMs. He only just learned that you can that people are DMing him. So like there were like DMs from like 50 and yeah. Angie and like all these people, and he had no idea. So he just found out like
it's crazy.
Just now.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because he just got from having an iPhone 2. He goes like 5 years out. So he waits to. He should have just been off the 4 or something. Like he's crazy.
But
he ain't gonna get the 11 to 2027. Then he's gonna get the one we got now. He's crazy with this.
But the two of them said that when it comes to traveling with shoes, you're the guy. You got like just like closets full of shoes that you're traveling with on tour.
Oh yeah, because I got to look I bring. Yeah, I mean, I love. I don't know if I was deprived when I was younger.
You made up for it, though.
Yeah, I love sneakers. That's one of the things that I like. Like, you know what I mean? I love kicks.
Do you got separate suitcases for your shoes?
Fortunately, a 9 or 9.5 can fit good. I could easily always fit.
Oh, like you got sample size, too.
Yeah. Sneakers, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. What's like your, like rarest... Hashtag rare pair of shoes.
Well, I have the Kobe pack.
Mm. You pull them shits out and wear them?
I wore the 8s. I didn't never wear the 3s. The 3s are still dead stock, but mm-hmm. I wore the 8s. Mostly all of the Kanye's, the Nike and Adidas. Oregon 5s.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to about to come out, but they're not going to have all of the... the ducks and the O on them and all that. So
if I need to pay my rent, would you give me a pair to sell on like StockX?
Definitely.
That's a real
look
friend.
Look what
That's
I want y'all to do though. Look, this is real because nobody seems to be. I even went to StockX headquarters. It's super dope. Y'all gotta go there. It's super dope.
Dan Gilbert and them, right?
Yeah, I met Dan.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dan. He just had a stroke 6 months ago. So
oh, wow.
That was his first day back in the office. I was able to meet him. The headquarters is crazy. They got a secret store for a VIP store that got stuff for nice prices for people like us. That's gonna blow your mind. All of them, they got everything there.
Yeah.
You're like, what? You know what I mean? But it was dope. I want to take some of my collection and get a car. We need to do it. We need to set it up and do it.
By the way, you're the second person.
I want to sell some and get the money and get a car and film it all.
Jonathan Mannion came here and he was like, yo, after we, you know, finished taping, and he's like, have you heard of this thing? And I really wish I remember what it was. It was like my trailer or something like that, right? That you put a car on. And he was like showing us all these rare cars. He's like, let's buy one right now. I'm like,
yeah,
let's.
It was like auction sites. Yeah. He thinks that like we have like any money and we're just like.
He was like, you like Porsches? We're just like, are we really doing this right now? He was he's full
like,
in on
he's
it.
He's like, all we have to do is just put up, you know, like thousands of dollars each. And I'm like, sure. Yeah.
In New York City, by the way, where are we going to park? In a fucking lot? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, y'all got the breasts.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
John, you know.
It's I under know. The futon.
We know.
So. You had this new album out. It took you how long to record, you think? All in.
Nice amount. A couple months. You know what I mean?
Because you record all the time.
Stop, yeah. And then you go back. We was also making a Lox album mm-hmm. at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Friday on Elm Street in between.
Yep.
And bunch of features. All a bunch of features right now. Now I got to do.
Do you... plan to do stuff just for your solo, or do you like switch it up? You're like, no, maybe this could be good for the Lox album,
yeah.
Or maybe this could make
like
for
how
a good
do you
feature.
Divvy it up?
Yeah. I mean, you just create, and then sometimes some songs make it, sometimes they fit better for something else. You hear them for something else, you throw it over there, or you pull it and put it over there. It's just about making them, though. You gotta, as an artist, your power is your song. Quality and quantity. You need songs. They care right now about your social presence and mm-hmm. followers more than the music. But
I mean, that's what I care about.
That's what the labels care about too. You gotta have a good all of that, and you gotta have some good music with that, and then that will make them some money,
yeah,
as well as yourself.
You know, your song with Pusha, it was released, and then there was the untimely murder of Pop Smoke.
Yeah, shout out to Pop Smoke.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace. Condolences to his family.
And
condolences to Steven and to Shiv and everybody too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the song comes down because for a few reasons, but what was your thinking in the aftermath? I mean, I know it's such a small thing, but it's like, you know, it's like you have a thought that's in the world, and it's just like it's not something that you meant. And then, you know, that
right, the context changes then.
Yeah.
No, it's art. I mean, for anybody that, you know, the song was created months before this untimely incident happened to Pop Smoke. So it's not, you know what I mean, it's not, wasn't released with malice or none of that. It's just a song that me and him created that we thought was dope.
Is it going to go back up?
Yeah. We didn't pull it off the project. Mm-hmm. We just pulled it from... We didn't want to
schedule.
We wanted to leave a, you know, sense of light.
Yeah.
On I actually pulled the whole album to next week because of the Kobe thing and the Pop Smoke. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So March 6th is going to be the actual date, just because of out of respect.
Yeah.
Of all the stuff that's going on, it's bigger than any music. You
Some
know
heavy
what I
mean?
Shit. When you lose loved ones and daughters and sons and fathers, and so you know what I mean, as a real dude that, you know, is a father and a man first, we gonna release it on March 6th, the entire album. And Hunting Season is on there, and it'll be released.
Right on.
The way it got leaked, they told me Australia's the day before, so they had to give it to them.
Yeah.
And it already came out because their Friday is...
Right.
Out there. Yeah. That's how I still managed to get leaked somehow a little bit, but... We're going to still push the button on it and let the actual video out.
I'm glad.
Stuff is still going. You know
I'm glad.
I mean? Just after some of this stuff, you know.
Give it some time.
Give it some time.
Were you in L.A. just to be in L.A. or were you there for...
No, I was in L.A. for the Grammy weekend for the Rock Nation brunch to do some promo for the album. And the city just stopped.
Yeah.
To me, it's another crazy time because I was also in L.A. when Biggie got killed, so... It felt similar to a certain degree, but it was even crazier with Kobe because the whole entire city stopped. Like the whole, it's like it was going.
And both times are celebratory, like weekends that you're out there. You know, that's just a mind fuck.
Grammy weekend is a little spooky now after the Whitney Houston and a couple of things always happen. It seemed like on Grammy weekend.
Yeah,
like,
you can't. Be in that same mind state.
Yeah. You can't even be in that same state. You might as well go somewhere else. Yeah, Acapulco or one of them. You ain't getting the Grammy. Don't go to the Grammy. That's what I'm getting off that.
Nah, but next year's Grammys, though. Like, you got some shit on this album that really is powerful.
Y'all don't get the vote? Y'all ain't earned the...
No.
What?
What
do you think
knew?
We do?
No.
Because a lot of people don't know.
Very significant and influential people to the hip hop culture, brothers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's very meaningful.
It's not true.
Like, oh, genius. they're hitting us for genius. But, Ed Lover got votes for the Grammy.
He got a vote?
I think
he also like built hip hop.
You right. I ain't comparing y'all to Ed Lover because he could be y'all dad. But y'all who says who's the people that vote? The Grammys full of shit.
Until you get nominated for one, and then it's a different story.
Yeah, then I'm like all on board. It's just like, Grammys for everybody.
I got nominated for Y, and the best thing was that was sending my mom and pop to the Grammys and letting them do the red carpet and go there. I still didn't really care. I knew I wasn't going to win.
Damn.
You don't even have like a little... And they
what were you up against? What were you up against that year? Do you know who won?
I forgot. Somebody.
The world forgot.
Yeah. They would have remembered it. They would have let Y win, though. But, you know, hopefully we get one for this something off this joint. Man,
absolutely.
For Pick, man, and let it be.
How about that?
Vicariously through Pick.
That 2 Chainz record. What's it called?
Angels Getting Pedicures.
It's the most fire name ever. So he does his verse, and he mentions that one of his lines.
Yeah, he said that actually before he came
on
with his verse. Yeah, he said that pianos on his track sound like angels getting pedicures.
Were you like, that's
message.
It?
Message.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, man. You know, we here. We just working. We just happy to be here. We happy to be working. To be able to do whatever we want to do in life. Be healthy, you know.
All blessings.
Take nice family trips. Get exclusive LeBrons and Travis Scott and things of that. Rich dude Air Max or some type of, you know what I mean?
No,
he
just,
goes rich guy, he goes young rich guy.
We're just trying to save up so Couture. We can buy Chic some shoes.
Yeah.
Chic got wow Jordans in his crib. He just likes soft sneakers now.
He does.
He like comfortable joints now. Turn comfortable feet.
He needs pillows.
I love some of your Instagram posts that probably don't get like a ton of attention. I like the one where you're dressed up as a train conductor.
See? I was on set.
What was that?
That's the movie I did on Netflix.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Super duper
then
Kyle.
Then why? And what was Styles dressed up as a MTA bus
he did
driver?
A bus he's a bus driver for something that's coming out.
What, on the side?
No, a movie.
Is he doing okay?
It's a movie. He ain't MTA. Styles P, the new MTA
bus
driver.
But that picture is still like on some of his socials and his cameo and all that, you know?
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
I never even seen it, though. I know he shot it and I ain't see it yet.
I like the one that you did for your dentist. Where you were shouting him out. Do you get like a discount for that? Or was it just like off the
already
strength?
Discount. He's actually Ajua's cousin.
Really? What?
Yeah, so.
That's
it's
wild.
It's a family plug, you know. And he's dope dentist.
That's great.
Well, thank God. Otherwise, you know, it's just a plug and you're just like.
No, dentist is dead serious, dog. I know dudes that got the wrong tooth pulled out that went blind and all that. So you go to the. Yeah, no, you.
Yeah, that was like that was
dentist.
Like a whole journey you just took us on.
Yeah,
terrible.
I'm telling you,
get the whole.
I know real shit. You gotta keep your
you get
dentist
the wrong tooth pulled out.
Dentist is important.
Get your.
You show up to get clean one day and they fucking
pull the wrong tooth out blind. Rest in peace to my man Unga Bunga, man. That happened to me.
Yo, do you remember the first time that we did an interview with you was down in Orlando for All Star? And that was, it was in your hotel room.
It was like a suite of some sort.
Orlando All-Star. He was in jail.
Yeah. And we had to go
through.
He
was in jail. Remember?
No,
I didn't remember.
Remember I had my son and my godson with me. That was his son.
Crazy.
He wasn't there though. Yeah. And I bought them.
Kay's going to talk about it on his new album.
Me being a good son.
Yeah.
Being a good godfather and father. I took the boys with me down there. I remember that.
You also had like 15 other people in there.
Yeah, there were so many people.
We were hitting up Kiwi, we were hitting up Pick, we were hitting up Mike L with the eye patch. There were just a long list of people that we had to go through to like track you down. And finally when we did it, we went into our AKAs and the gunshots and the whole thing.
That bugged me out.
Yeah. Yo, we had to do it twice because like you guys screwed up the sound because you were so loud. And then everybody sort of posed between us like we were like Chip and Dale from like the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah, just like taking pictures in between. It was crazy. But that was the first time that people saw video footage of you with your hairline.
Because
you were gone with the baldy for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, what is going on here?
Yeah, with it, yeah.
You shocked people with that.
Yeah.
Did you ever forget that you had a hairline?
Nah.
When did you know it was the right time to bring it back, though?
Styles was already bald. But when Luch went bald... I always told them when both of y'all go bald, that's when I'm coming back. Yeah, so that's what actually happened. You know what I mean,
were you surprised at the reaction online?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people going. If you used to look in, if you come right now with 360 waves, After having to mock Anthony for all these years, they gonna think something is up. You know what I mean? That's like Jeff. If he get, you just get the cornrows right now. Yo, like Travis Scott.
Yeah. I am not a cultural appropriator.
Like, yeah, they gonna be like, "What the hell happened to Jeff?" You know what I mean? So yeah, you know, it takes a while to get used to. And some people always gonna think you went to the hair club for men. But I was never bald. I was just rocking the baldy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You had to shave, like, what, every day?
Nah, my hair don't grow like that either, so it wasn't. And people who knew me used to see me with hair. It's just you never would see me on a picture or a video or out in a at a public event.
Yeah.
But in the hood.
I'm glad that you saved it for our interview.
I know, yeah.
That was a great... Yeah, it was strategic marketing. It was marketing.
Did you go to the place where they use a straight razor and just like...
Nah, I use the clippers.
Do the full like shave and all that?
I need the clippers. I just really start getting in tune with the razor.
Have you been... What's the weirdest place you brought a barber out to?
Walter's Hot Dogs.
I really don't like getting foreign cuts or like a cut.
No, where'd you fly like your regular guy out to?
Tour.
Yeah.
Bringing a barber on tour is mandatory. Instead of just flying them.
So all the nines and nine and a halves. And your barber, though, that's your rider.
You need that. Yeah.
I have a question for you that I've been wondering for about, I don't know, 5 years? However long we 8 years. So we exchanged numbers in Orlando. And you would have me text you, you know, like, because we were trying to get you on our album. You were like,
oh, yeah. You ain't going to do another one?
Yeah, we're doing another one.
Yeah.
Oh, and we got a record for all three of you guys.
I owe y'all some bar.
But, okay, so I look like a psychopath because I was just texting you, like, and not getting a response. But,
you still got 5 years ago text?
Yeah, hell yeah. What?
Yo, shit.
I need receipts. So, out of nowhere, one day you text me and you just said, I just seen Charmaine. This has nothing to do with what I was asking you. You just said, I just seen Charmaine. I go, Shaheem? No response. So, is that Charlemagne?
I don't know what the hell that is, dog.
Like, by the way, total psychopath again. Just all green text.
That's crazy.
So, another thing that a long time It's the Real fans know is that when you three came over to our old place, our old apartment, and did a podcast just about the locks, and we talked about everything, you and Styles were on edibles. You immediately fell asleep on the table and then would wake up occasionally and start singing
New Edition songs.
Lyrics. Yeah. Yeah. And
yo, you were off of something crazy.
Yo, it was wild.
You were off something crazy.
It was
crazy.
Wild, yeah. You were...
Somebody actually hit us up and said, like, I know what... Like, somebody... I guess the guy, your plug, like, he gave you something.
Somebody hit you and said, he knew what I was off.
Yeah.
So...
He's like, I think it was this.
Jada is asleep on the table, and that led Sheik and Styles to start talking about movies, right? They're like, yo, you fuck with the Big Lebowski because they saw a book on the Big Lebowski. We're like, oh, fuck yeah, that's one of my favorite movies ever. So they start arguing. You wake up, you're like, yo, ask them about The Color Purple, right? And then that got them
what was that?
That launched them into this whole thing about movies. And so I was like, yo, you guys should have your own podcast and talk about movies. And in that moment, Styles was like, no, we should have one and call it Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies. And ever since then, clearly, we've obviously made this into a regular thing. We're making it into a more regular thing now. And it's become Two Jews and, more often than not, Three Black Dudes Review the Movies.
No doubt.
And it kills the people who still see the title Two Jews and Two Black Dudes when they're like, yo, but there's three black dudes. We're like, we know. And we have to explain every time. That and also all of your fans who jump in and just like...
These are two
white guys and three real Jews. And we're like, yo... Are we really getting into this like Lost Tribe shit, like the 12th thing? And
by the way, agreed. Yeah. Hard agree.
We're like culturally, like, who are the Jews? Like, I mean, like, what do you want us to say? In any event, it's interesting listening back to all your music, considering like this brand that we've launched together, right? Mm-hmm. And we all love movies. Whenever we go to the studio, you guys love to watch movies. When you guys come to our crib here, we watch the movie. Like, we don't just talk about the movies. We actually watch it together. And
yeah, it's
then
a
six-hour
experience.
To remark on it. But you listen back and you're talking about, like, Life's a Bitch Like the Mother from Blow. You know, all these different references.
Yeah, man, movies, yeah.
Great movies.
Movies are important to everything. I think athletes watch movies. I think rappers watch movies. I think actors watch movies. You know, movies are like visual books. Like, you need them. You need them. You need them. Sometimes if you took a while from watching a movie, something to just click and you, I got to go watch. I got to go to the movies and catch up on these. You know what I mean? So,
what's your biggest blind spot? Like, a movie that you, like, have never seen that everybody else has seen. Like, for a while, Eric and I had never seen In Too Deep.
Never seen it.
And everyone talks about it, and you're left out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, damn, I wish I saw that.
What were you saying?
Well, we had never seen Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't care about Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest right here. This is going to break a lot of people's hearts. Until very recently, never seen the movie Heat.
Whoa.
But yo, no, Kay, don't leave. Don't leave. Watched it recently. It's really good. It's a really good movie. I see what people were talking about.
super duper dope.
So we were talking with the guys the other day about what heist movies we should watch. Mm. And we were talking about the roles that we would all play. And we were like, yo, who would be the driver? Would Jada be the driver? And they voted
no.
They were like, Jada's not going to be the driver.
Kay would be the driver.
Hell no.
No, they said Styles would be the driver, but that if we were lugging all this stuff back to the car and you and Kay were sitting in there, there might not be room for all of us to throw those, like, gold bricks in and everything.
Yeah, throwing gold bricks. Look at us.
Yeah. No, Sheik's going to carry everything and we'll, like, jump in.
Carry everything. Yeah. Styles is going to be the driver.
Jeff's going to be the grease man.
Yeah.
I'll be the lookout.
I feel like I could do, like, the spray paint.
On the cameras.
I'm tall.
Yeah. Feeling nice. Yeah. Jeff is a criminal. I knew you had it in you, Jeff.
So as long as we've known you, everyone's talked about the fact that you stay in the studio and you record and record and record and record. The Lox album is recorded, right?
Yeah.
It's finished, could be turned in tomorrow, and you guys could put it out there.
Yeah, we actually looking for treatments for the first single.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's going down, bro.
Where can people submit them? In Sheik's DM?
No, you got to send them to the Rock Nation. You got to send it to the Rock Nation team.
How about another Jada album after this?
Definitely. I'm coming back for the summertime.
It's all set? It's all ready to go?
It's some type of statue of limitation for time when I could get the Grammy nod.
So oh, I to can't, focus on.
Yeah, is it?
You can only put out one album a year?
Nah, it's a certain. It's something. They got it rigged, but.
I agree with that.
They got it rigged, but we're going to make it work. Even if it got to be a mixtape, I'm going to come back for the summer. Make sure I come back for when the weather breaks.
Do you think that. So, okay, being part of the. I don't know how it was when you recorded Why and promoted that and what Interscope did to make that, like, Grammy nominated?
Jimmy Iovine, he spent the money. You know what I mean? It's not that simple. Chinese arithmetic.
But do you have to go around shaking hands?
The money.
You got to go, like,
I didn't,
you know,
go shaking. I did the same thing I'm doing now. He just put some money behind it and made it
go.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not that.
But if the times change a little bit and you have to go out and shake hands and you have to.
I don't mind shaking hands. I'd rather shake hands than to do the cyber promotion. You know what I mean? I'm cool with the cyber because it could reach more of a mass of people, but I'd rather go inside the radio and shake the PD's hands and go sit with the DJs and the bloggers and, you know what I mean, opposed to Skyping and FaceTime. And when hands-on and touching the people is always better than all this stuff.
So we know you as really, really funny, having great sense of humor. You guys laugh all the time, right? Are you surprised that, like, times have changed to the point now where it's, like, so acceptable to show, like, your full personality? Like, yeah. Styles talks about it. He's just like, yo, like, I laugh, of course. Like, who wants to be hard all the time, right? Like, when we first started doing sketches 12 years ago.
Everybody was stiff.
Stiff. Yeah. And, like, when, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, we come around and we do things with Bun and Clips and, like, Max
Joe,
B and
Joe Budden.
Yeah. Slaughterhouse. And shows a different side of them, that lets people shift into that thing where it's like, you're a more complete person because you're not just, like, frowning and you're not just, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you also gotta know some. It's like a baby. Baby ain't gonna really warm up to you till she knows that she good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some people is easier than, you know. But some of these rappers is, like, stuck on Some is.
But you're willing to, like, you know, talk about working at, you know,
Walter's
Hot Dogs. And you're willing to, like, you know, make fun of yourself.
Yeah,
and laugh.
Came from the bar. Everybody ain't an overnight success story. And that usually not a good story anyway. So when you, the more things you've been through, the more trials and tribulations and valleys and peaks, it's a better conversational piece. It's a better for the listeners. It's better for dudes that want to know more than just about your last freestyle or, you know what I mean, something so frivolous as that. They want to, this internet, the good part of it is gives people a chance to get a part of you. You know what I mean? And,
well, I mean, is it hard to freestyle while Flex is, like, growling, like, this far away? Like, do you lose concentration? Are you, like...
Nah, you gotta...
No, you're being political right now. I don't want to hear this.
Nah, it's growls. Don't bother me.
Do you have any good tunnel stories?
We were just talking about the tunnel yesterday. Nah, just the...
You have any? Ever had any problems at the door? Pulling up with, like,
they try to make me take my shoes off one day. That wasn't going to happen. I don't even know how they even got it to that serious where you got to take your shoes off.
Were you not wearing your good socks? Guns in,
dudes was putting guns in his sneakers. Take your shoes off. This is a club or where we at? An Indian restaurant? What take your shoes off for?
I want to talk about some Yonkers legends.
Mm.
I want to talk about Lil Zane.
Shout out to Zane.
Isn't that crazy?
I had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know his father.
He lived down the block from him. He came from down the hill.
Wild. Yeah. I mean, he moved to Atlanta when he was young. Yeah.
But then when he got signed.
Back. He used to come back.
When he got signed and, like, was popping up on, like, 112 songs and, you know, doing the Tupac flow and everything, like, were you just like, that's the kid from...
Yeah, no, that's Lil Zane. Yeah, we know.
That's
he
crazy.
He was doing his thing, man. He went to the A and got on.
He did it. He didn't sign with Puff, but I was glad you mentioned that too. By the way, you're like, yo, you know, threatened to throw a refrigerator at my guy Puff. You know, you said who else has gotten to it with Beanie and 50 besides me?
Mm-hmm.
It's real shit.
Real. Oh, you got to, you know, real. I mean, pain is relatable and real life situations go further than talking about a bunch of things some people will never be able to obtain in life.
Yeah.
You know, some people like to hear it. Sometimes it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do it. But real life situations and things of that type of nature will resonate more because everybody's been through that, opposed to everybody don't own a Rolls Royce. But everybody's been laid on a bill or lost somebody they love or, you know, things, you know, regular life things that happen. Yeah, real shit.
Yeah. Where do you place Checkmate in, like, the canon of great?
It never really gets...
Yo, it's proper.
You don't think so?
It's... No, when they talk about this song...
Somebody texted us.
They shout out to Jeremy Corrales, to, yeah.
But they don't... They don't put it in there like that, and yeah. It's a good in. I ain't mad at it because me and Fifth is cool.
No, of course.
I actually gotta call him and do some work.
Yeah, he owes some moves. She goes him a DM back, you know.
But yeah, they don't mention it.
Like, no, it's
hopefully when,
it's still fine.
They don't wait till I'm dead.
Yeah,
they say that was one of the critically acclaimed.
Yeah,
no, we're powerful, song.
But it made Billboard.
We're powerful people.
It hit the Billboard.
It matters.
You know what I mean? So. That was an accomplishment.
You are the only person, you can check this with Genius, to say predicate.
And rhyme it with Connecticut?
Yeah.
It's fire.
You know what I'm saying?
So, you're in a good health space, you're in a good mind space, you're in a good workspace.
Sure am. Especially when they finish with goddamn studio, man.
Yo, yeah, when is that getting finished?
So we were talking with you about it. And
you don't show up to the studio to actually, like, check the progress.
No. Oh, no, he shows up too much.
Styles don't.
Yes,
Styles don't. Yeah.
I went there and made them. They wanted me to not go back. I went there and...
I just want to talk about the old studio real quick. You guys were there for a minute.
18 years or something.
And
it was like a bunch of carpenters.
Yeah, it was woodworking, like on the same floor. You could smell them like cutting wood and all that. And then you show up and it's just, you know, another door like you would find down the hall, but it said D-Block Studios.
Oh, damn.
You got to knock a million times and someone's going to like let you in.
Yeah.
And that is where you guys...
It was a very blue-collar sort of space, right?
That is where you guys would record.
Yeah.
Who did you invite up there, and were they ever just like, you sure I got the right place? Like, would Fab show up and be like, what, third floor?
Yeah.
Fab been there a lot of times.
There were people who turned around,
some
though.
Some dudes, One time Ricky Rose was coming to do a song with me. He got to the second floor. He said, yo, email him. Switched to the, you got to email me.
Yo, when Ross came here, he showed up by himself. Yeah, we were just like, that's dope.
Yeah.
Stayed like for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just chilled. We were like, really? Shout out to Ross.
No, yeah, even you don't show up by yourself. Show up with Kay.
Same thing as by myself. He on a gram. He ain't here.
No, Ross is a real one, though. And you know what we really loved is when we talked to him about the Locks on the podcast.
He was a dog, though.
He was like, yo, yeah. I respect them so much because they showed me love like early on. And I respect them coming from the mud just like I came from the mud. And you guys speak the same language.
It's facts. That's my dog. He always come through. He's a phone call away whenever, you know, some dudes get a little, they get to a certain stature and then you know what I mean, they forget about, you know, because it ain't about the money. It's about answering the call and getting it done. So, you know, some dudes don't, they forget that.
You guys sold out your Sony Hall show.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Not only sold it out. Oh, and by the way, it was crowd, super impressive.
Yeah, and it was on the same night as the loud show. Red House thing. Which so, is like, you know, no, similar audience. Nervous. Yeah.
No, well, before we get to that, we were going to head down, whatever, like, you know, it shows on at like 10 or something like that. We were going to roll down at 9:30 or whatever. And before we leave, Jeff's like, yo, what are the guys going to do? I'm like, why? He's like, oh, because... You know, there's a loud show too, or whatever. What do they pull up there? I was like, no, they got their own show. They're not going to do both shows. We show up. You're not there. Why? Because you went to Radio City, performed during Fat Joe's set, and then ran down. shout out to Brian Yayo.
Yeah,
freaky. He's like, yo, we huffed it down there, like. He was afraid we weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
You did both shows that night.
Both shows. It was beautiful. Both sold out. Both, well, I ain't sure if Radio was sold. It looked like it was sold out.
But, big crowd.
Yeah.
Great energy, right?
Energy was marvelous. Fat Joe pulled off a tremendous set. It was dope. Then Sony Hall was even dope. Because after going to the loud show, I'm like, it's crickets at our show. There's no way there's that much people in the city tonight that want to.
Yo, it was like
no way this much tickets was bought. All walk-ups.
Yo.
But when we got this Sony
Hall. A lot of wide-cut jeans, a lot of Tims,
yeah.
You know.
It was dope.
Yeah.
It was dope.
No, it was fire. You guys were playing mixtape tracks. You were.
Yeah. We had to rehearse. We went to a rehearsal. First time I went to sound check in a long time. I mean, I had to go there and actually learn some of them verses that day.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
Yep.
Yeah. So next you go to Genius. You're doing some more press for this.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to send us to Genius.
The new, yeah, that's where
we're... Yeah, we're going to see. We're going to see when we
I could take a three-hour boat ride over to Genius.
But the next big date is not the 28th of February anymore. We're talking...
3-6.
March 6th.
Yeah, Ignatius. In light of everything that's going on. Also a couple sample clearances. You got to keep it real with the people.
Yeah.
You just got the stems back to the John Legend record. Mm. And he also... wanted a nice grip, so we had to pay that and take it. Yeah, you gotta give
the
real.
He deserves it, though.
The people. But the people sometimes don't really want to think, you know, you just, it'd be other reasons. You gotta tell them both. We doing this because of the Kobe and his daughter and whole thing and the Pop Smoke, you know, what happened to Pop Smoke. We paying respect to that. And some clearances, some P&B rock. Song, we even gonna have to replace him with somebody else. And the John Legend song, we just got it, and we had to pay him a nice grip.
Yeah, so, yeah.
What was your relationship like with John?
Legend?
Yeah. Stevens.
He's cool. I mean, you know, I don't really have a real, when I see him, we speak, but it's, that's a, to the extent of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been to his house for mashed potatoes.
I hope you get the invite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope the mashed potatoes is right. You know what I mean?
I think that it's super important. Look, our podcast, I can look to the turning point of our success with doing an hour and a half talk, right? Mm. Which is probably like 5 years ago, talking about not only the people who are like in front of the camera, but the people behind the camera. And when you get people like Sav and Steve-O up here, when you get people like Marsha St. Hubert up here, when
Sycamore.
Sycamores, you get the Brocky Marcianos, you get Nigel Tallies, you get all these people who are behind the scenes that people might not ordinarily know their names, certainly don't know their stories. Pick was one of the people that we wanted up here for a long time. Mar Brown, another guy who did radio over at Atlantic, legend, was at Interscope for a long time. He passed away. There's stories that deserve to be told. There's stories that deserve to be recorded and live on forever. And even though we were not able to get Pick up here, I'm so glad that you were able to put his story down in a very Jadakiss way on this album. And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I thank you for coming up here as always. And it really is a pleasure to be a friend of yours. And we appreciate you and we love you. And thanks so much.
The feeling's mutual, my brothers.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of Waste Time with the Real Jeff. If you want to find out more about us, I'm Eric with the curly hair. You are Jeff with the glasses. Together, we are It's the Real, no apostrophe, no spaces. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called The Waste Time with It's the Real Jeff. People want to know more about us, including what we look like. Where can they go?
You can always go to our Instagram, where you can check out the fact that apparently we are stick figures.
Well,
because Jean Grey depicted us as such. We don't have our photo for our Royce the 5'9 episode.
Yeah, but she drew this picture of us with me with curly hair and you with glasses. And
she got it exactly right.
That's us. I
mean, that's mine. Us. Yeah. The essence of us is all in there.
Royce, also, glasses and hat.
A lot of people are freaking out on Twitter.
About what, Jeff?
Apparently we're white. I know, the secret's out.
Wait.
We've been keeping it a secret for
us
13 years.
Wait, the guys from the podcast?
The guys from the podcast. This voice right here, right now, is actually not a Venezuelan man. This is, I'm a white.
Yeah.
I'm a white man, and this is my white brother. And I'm really sorry for anybody who felt deceived. I'm sorry for anybody who feels like they had...
What a time.
You know, like the slip pulled over them.
Like we were Rachel Dolezal.
We were Rachel Dolezal. Your hair is similar.
Yeah, that's
curl
right.
Pattern.
That's right.
To Rachel Dolezal. And I'd just like to apologize for everybody out there.
Yeah.
This is, we're going to go black for a while. Oh my God, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh no, not like that, Jeff.
Not like that. We're going to go African American.
Oh, wait, Jeff, if you want to find us on Instagram, if you want to see what we look like.
Yeah, see that our white faces, our pale.
Or Twitter, where can they find us?
You can go to twitter.com/itsthereal. You can go to itsthereal.com, ITSTHERAL. You can also go to our Patreon. Help us fund this little thing.
Yeah.
Help these two white brothers.
That's right. Patreon.com/itsthereal.
And we should shout out people who have been contributing to it.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I want to shout out Amir Abessi from The Bay.
Yes.
And I also want to shout out Ian Lutz, who I believe is from Washington, D.C.
Shout out to him as well. And shout out to everybody who has come aboard. There are different tiers. You can sign up for the $2 tier, and that gets you something. You can sign up for the $3 tier, and that gets you something. For those of you who want to make a bigger, more...
A splash.
Yeah, a bigger splash. You want to dive in the deep end. There are higher tiers for larger amounts of money that you can contribute to keep this thing rolling along.
Yeah, and including there's a $50 one where if you give that much, we're going to have you on this other show we're starting.
Yeah.
Called We Don't Know You.
Yeah. It's a video series.
It's a video series with people that we don't know.
And we'll get to know you. Also, I do want to say that there is a tier, which I believe is $100 a month, and some people who really want to receive the gift of sitting here on our couch while we record an episode of either Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies or A Waste of Time That's the Real, get that gift when they contribute that amount of money. So, patreon.com/itsthereal.
Also, don't be like a psychopath. Like, if you're going to come over, don't be like crazy. Like, no knives.
Well, listen, Jeff. No promises.
No promises.
You know?
All I ask is if you pay $100 to come over here,
please
don't be a psychopath.
Yeah. So, all of that said, we have new episodes up on audio and on video now, youtube.com/itsthereal. We appreciate everybody who has helped us get to this point and move forward. Jeff, as always, not for real, for real.
For sure.
We'll see you guys next week.